Pericles evacuated the population of Attica. Perhaps the total population of the Athenian city-state in 431 BC was 300,000 people, behind the long walls and city walls, and then planned to send out his fleet to ravage the Peloponnesus, to put down rebellions in the Athenian Empire, to prevent the Spartans from cooperating with the Persians, and to attack Corinthian economic and military interests in northwest Greece. It was hoped by this means to damage the ability of the Peloponnesians to wage war and convince the Peloponnesians to arbitrate and to end the war by some kind of negotiated settlement. It looks as if Pericles planned to win the war by a policy of exhaustion that would ultimately end up at a conference table rather than a decisive hoplite victory. One scholar, his name is Hans Delbrück, a very important German military thinker of the late 19th century who wrote a massive history of ancient warfare, he alone really saw the dangers of this war for morale and economic resources of Athens. And he had in mind what Frederick II got himself into in the Seven Years' War, which we know as the French and Indian War, where that war of exhaustion nearly did in Prussia, and had it not been for the death of Tsarina Elizabeth and the accession of Peter III, Frederick the Great may well never have been great. He may well have gone down in a mass of Russian infantry overrunning Berlin. In any case, this policy of Pericles was premised on the notion that the Athenians could afford to see their fields destroyed, they could import the foodstuffs, that the state had sufficient funds to feed the population, and that the navy could inflict the type of damage on the Peloponnesians which would force a settlement. The Athenians had at their disposal impressive military forces to do this. Thucydides gives us a very careful accounting. There were 13,000 Athenian hoplites of the first class. About 25% of them were engaged besieging Potidaea in 431 BC. But that aside, that was an impressive number. But there were an additional 16,000 men who were known as ephebes, that is, between 18 and 20, older men and resident aliens, Medics, who were also of hoplite rank and therefore could be used for garrison service or even on the battlefield. The Athenians also fielded 1,200 cavalry, 1,600 archers, the only formal formations of archers maintained by any Greek city-state. They had thousands upon thousands of men who could row in the fleet, probably between 20 and 30,000, or who could serve as light-armed infantry. And above all, the Athenians drew heavily on their allies and mercenaries from their alliances, including Thessalian cavalry and the numerous members of the Athenian Empire, who often provided rowers, hoplites, and light infantry. And in all of these battles, Thucydides usually gives us Athenian numbers, and we have to surmise that these figures are probably two or three times greater when you count in the allied mercenary units that are also attached to them. The fleet included 200 triremes. Above all, these were rowed by experienced crews. The Athenians' greatest commitment was 280 in 430 BC, but they usually kept 200 at sea, 100 in dry dock as backup. There were also naval allies such as Chios and Lesbos, each of which could provide 50 triremes. Corcyra still had a substantial fleet. And so the Athenians altogether with their allies, if really pressed, could launch somewhere between 300 and 400 triremes. And above all, the Athenian triremes excelled in the open order tactics of periplus, of the shearing off of opponents' oars, and they really did demonstrate their naval superiority in the battles of the Acarnanian War. The Athenians had a reserve of 9,000 talents when they went into the war. However, a third of that was expended on the siege of Potidaea, and the resources ran out far faster than Pericles had anticipated. And we'll see that by 428 BC, the Athenians are facing a financial and fiscal crisis. Nonetheless, Pericles had confidence that these forces could prevail. And in 431 and 430 BC, on each occasion, the Athenians sent huge fleets around the Peloponnesus, ravaging allies of the Peloponnesian League, hitting ports, destroying dry docks, and above all, interfering with the shipment of grain and foodstuffs from southern Italy into the Corinthian Gulf, which would affect very, very much Sicyon, Corinth, and Megara, the naval allies of the Peloponnesian League. The Spartans, on the other hand, had their own resources, and remarkably, Thucydides tells us very little about them. He probably didn't have access to the information.